We're doing this Peacemaker, in fact, using a book entitled the same, and it is very good. There are some questionable things, I think, in it, but for the most part, it was very, very helpful. And Romans 12 and verse 18, which says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And in fact, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we touched on that this morning in Matthew, the fifth chapter, in Matthew 5 and verse 9, he says, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so emphasis on being peaceable. A good soldier dies first, and the good die young. Interesting thought, isn't it? A good soldier dies first, and the good die young. Why? Because old men can't make peace. That's really what it boils down to. They send young men to fight their battles because they do not have the ability to make peace. Every part of our lives is affected by what is taught in this particular verse. Every aspect. Our homes, the work that we do, the businesses that we are involved in or have some relationship with, the church, even recreation is touched on by this particular verse. The world has never treated God's people well. And do you think that it's going to treat you good just because you're a good person? Now you look back at John the Apostle. He was a good person. He wasn't out to beat anybody or to get an advantage on anyone. Think about Jesus himself. He went about doing good. That's what the text tells us, isn't it? He went about doing good. He was a good person. Everyone who had association with him would indicate, at least in some way, that he was a good person. He healed people. He helped people. Of course, there were some who hated him because he violated their understanding of certain things. Paul was a good person after he became a Christian. He was pretty not so well before that. And you might think just as well that a bull will not attack you if you're a vegetarian, or a shark is not going to eat you because you don't eat them. Well, that just simply is foolishness, isn't it? There are going to be people who are not going to like you. They're not going to want to be around you. They don't want any part of you. In fact, they would rather get rid of you. I want you to notice in this verse, the first statement is, if possible. If possible. And you may ask someday, what else can I do in a particular situation to solve a disagreement with someone else? Sometimes the answer is nothing. There isn't anything you can do. In fact, in Isaiah 9 in verse 6, this prophecy of the coming Messiah, for a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the judgment or the government will be rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And they crucified him. Right? And John 1 in verses 11 and 12, John 1 verses 11 and 12, it says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. He came to his own. He came to his own. They did not receive him. They didn't want him. He wasn't what they were expecting. Therefore, they rejected him. In John 19 and verse 7, John 19 and verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." What that reminds me of is a time long ago, back when I was 19, I was talking with a family, encouraging someone to be baptized, and in the midst of that, they became quite angry with me because I had condemned their son to hell. We didn't even talk about their son. We didn't even mention their son in the conversation. What they recognized was that what was being taught was going to condemn some who were not children of God. And that's exactly what happened with these individuals. What Jesus clearly taught was that he was the Son of God. By his actions, he was proving it to be the case. He is, in fact, the Son of God. But they rejected that. Notice that if peace is not possible, we must make sure that it is not our fault. You see, this idea of if possible lays things back at my feet in the sense that I need to make sure I'm not the one that creating the difficulty, that I'm not the one who is keeping peace from happening. What kind of person cannot have peace? You ever think about that? What kind of a person just simply cannot have peace? Well, one who will not allow the Bible to help make peace. If you use the Bible, it will help make peace. We were talking about some things this morning that were very difficult in some ways. One of the things that stood out and I think was really important was the idea of pride in that discussion. People who are filled with pride cannot be at peace with others. They're not willing to humble themselves and say they're wrong or that they might be wrong. You see, those ideas are not entertained in their minds. In fact, I think about Diotrephes. He was overbearing. He was a bully, wasn't he? His attitude was, it was my way or no way. My way or the highway. In fact, he was pompous, wasn't he? He wanted first place. He wanted God's place. He wanted the Son of God's place, didn't he? Really, in all honesty. Those who have no respect for others have difficulty being at peace. In Matthew 7 and in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets." The way you want to be treated is the way you ought to treat others. And so if you want to be at peace with other people, then you need to treat them in a peaceful way, right? Absolutely. In Philippians 2 and in verse 4, Paul writes, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Don't just be concerned about yourself. And that goes on to discuss and talk about what Jesus Christ did for us, doesn't it? That he did not regard equality, and I think we talked on this in class this morning as well. He did not regard equality with God to be a thing to be grasped or held on to. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his place in heaven. He came to this earth. He became a man. He was born as a man. He lived here among us for some 30 years. And he humbled himself in obedience to the Father, Paul says. Humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Matthew 7:12 tells me, however you want to be treated or people to treat you, so treat them. Jesus treated us the way he wants us to treat him and how he wants us to treat others. Are you willing to go this far for someone else? Yeah, we're to be willing to give our lives for one another. We don't look out just for ourselves. We look out for each other. We care about each other and how that's going to affect the other person. We're concerned about that. Notice that this goes on here in Romans 12 and verse 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you. Depends on you. I've got to look at myself. In Matthew 5, we touched on this just a moment ago in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why are peacemakers happy? Why are they blessed? Because they bring about peace. They work for peace. We as Christians are to be working for peace, being at peace with others and with God. In Romans 14 and verse 19, Romans 14 and verse 19, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That idea of pursuing, if you're pursuing something, if your little child is trying to get away and you're pursuing them, are you just kind of lollygagging along trying to catch up with them? No. You're running after them, aren't you? You're pursuing them. Here's that idea of how we are to look at being peaceful and being at peace with one another. We're to pursue it. Pursue the things which make for peace. What are the things that make for peace? Understanding who you are. Understanding what you're saying to me. I've got to listen to what you say so that I can understand what you're saying to me. And then take that in and consider it. Literally consider it to be so. This is what this person wants. How can I help that be accomplished? I've got to be helpful. I've got to, and in order to do that, I've got to truly be interested in you, don't I? Absolutely. I've got to care about how you feel. I've got to care about what you want. I've got to care about what you need. And do we not see that? Philippians 2, again, is that not what Jesus did when he came to this world? He cared about us. He cared about what we needed. He cared about what we really wanted. And he came here for us that we might have peace with God through him, through his shed blood. How can I live at peace with all men? Well, I think the first thing that it takes is to be dedicated to God and to his ways. I've got to be determined to do what God wants the way God wants it done. In Romans 12 and in verse 1, Paul says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I've got to be sacrificial in my life. I've got to be dedicated to that point in serving God. In chapter 12 there at verse 11, it says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see, being at peace with someone as a Christian means I'm serving the Lord. I'm trying to serve the Lord to be at peace with this other individual. And I ought not to lag behind in being diligent to accomplish that. I need to be humble. I go back to that idea of pride. I've got to be willing to humble myself. Again, here in chapter 12 of Romans, in verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. This morning I was looking in the mirror at myself. And Cheryl says, what are you looking at? And I said, an old man. You've got to be honest with yourself. I think that's what this is, at least part of what it's saying. You've got to be honest with yourself if you're going to really be humble. You've got to really examine your thoughts, your thinking, if you're going to be humble. You've got to be willing to recognize that there could be a sense of pride in you and that you've got to remove it. And you've got to be willing to remove it in order to have peace. And then, thirdly, I think you have to truly love other people. Now, we're not talking about gushy love here. We're talking about agape, where we are truly concerned about the benefit to someone else. We care about their being benefited by things. This is the kind of love that would shove someone out of the way of a rattlesnake. It would push them away from the shark. It would push them out of the road so that they don't get hit by the bus. That's the kind of love that this is. And again, here in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Here again, that idea of clinging. Holding on. Don't let it go. Holding on to what is good. Abhor. Hate. We've talked about that in our Bible study on Wednesday night. That we abhor. Christians abhor evil. We hate evil. Because God hates evil. Because every evil person is going to hate you. That's for sure. Again, here in Romans 12, in verse 10 this time, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Preferring. Having a preference for other Christians. Preferring them. And then in verse 13, he goes on to say, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Sharing with others. If you truly love another individual, you're going to share what you have with them if they're in need, or even maybe if they're not in need, you're going to be willing to share those things. Give them what they need at that appropriate time. Then in verse 15, he goes on to say, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When you have a brother or a sister that is receiving something that is a benefit or a blessing to them that they're joyous over, we should be willing to rejoice with them. We ought to be rejoicing with them. And when they're suffering difficulty or hardship, we should be suffering with them. That's what this is saying. Fourthly, be good to your enemies. You see, a Christian is not just good to other Christians. He's good to everyone. Or she is good to everyone. Insist upon teaching the truth of the Bible because their soul is precious to God or in God's sight. Be fair with them. Again, here in Romans 12, in verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Don't return evil because they've done evil to you. Do good. We should be at peace with our neighbors, right? Here again, as far as it depends on me, if it's possible, I need to be at peace with my neighbors. And I need to examine myself. Am I the problem? Am I the culprit here? Am I the one creating the difficulty? In verses 20 and 21, Paul writes, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap Burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Think about that. If your enemy's hungry, why not feed him? It just makes sense. If you were hungry, wouldn't you want him to feed you? If you were thirsty, wouldn't you want him to give you a drink? Then give him a drink. Overcome evil with good. It'll never be overcome by returning evil for evil, will it? In fact, we should be honorable citizens. I want to be at peace with all men. I need to be an honorable citizen. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear, but good for good behavior. But for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do evil, or if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so, in fact, in verse 8, he goes on to say, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Want to be at peace? Be this kind of an individual. Live this kind of life. Be at peace. As far as it depends on you, be at peace. I want you to notice that phrase there in Romans 12 is not a suggestion. God isn't just suggesting that we be at peace. He's commanding us to be at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13 says, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. That's not just a suggestion. That is a command of God. God commands us to be at peace with one another. In 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Notice the emphasis here. Again, it's not a suggestion. Here's a command. Be like-minded, be made complete, rejoice, comfort. And then, when you've done these things, the God of love and peace will be with you. 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. 1 Peter 3 verse 11. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Again, this idea of looking for. We're looking to find peace. We're pursuing it. We're going after it. We're running after it. We want to get a hold of it. We want to have it. And so we're going to seek it out. And then in Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. To be at peace. Unified. You can't have unity. You can't have togetherness without peace. In fact, Amos, in Amos 3 and verse 3, King James Version says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's hard to walk with somebody, to be working with them hand in hand if you don't have agreement, if you haven't made that kind of an agreement. Think of those who are your friends. Is it always good and pleasant to be with friends? I always enjoy being with friends. I always find it pleasant to be around you all. Because I consider you're not just my family, you're my friends too. It's a good thing to be with those individuals, isn't it? When we get along with friends, fellow workers, laborers, our neighbors, fellow Christians, family members, parents, children, in-laws, brothers, sisters, what have we done more than others? Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 47. I find it interesting that this is also in the Sermon on the Mount. It stands out in my mind that's why the Sermon on the Mount is such a Christianity in a nutshell kind of thing. In verse 47, he says, "If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Don't even wicked people greet and treat those that they're friends with good? Even evil people will do that. So if you just treat those who are your friends good, what have you done more than others have done? Now, with that in mind, think of that person who is always contrary in everything. It doesn't matter what you say, they're going to take the opposite view. Now, I want you to think about that person. And then think about them in this connection. What have you done to be at peace with them? Notice that this passage in Romans 12 and verse 18 ends with all men. Not some, not a few of them, not those that are close to you, but all men. Robert Fulghum said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall not, but words shall break our hearts." They can do a lot of abusive things, but their wicked words will only hurt the heart. Mine do exactly the same. That's why it's important to be at peace with all men. We must try to get along with our enemies, those who hate us, those who do not want anything to do with us. In fact, Matthew 5:47 would even indicate to us, when we are getting along with friends, with fellow workers, neighbors, or fellow Christians, family members, we have to ask ourselves, what have we done more than even the most wicked of individuals? I need to greet not only my brothers and my sisters and those who I'm close to, but even my enemies with kindness. There are plenty of times in life when I think we should think of this particular verse, this passage in Romans 12 and verse 18. Just think about what that says to us. It tells us that if possible, there is the possibility of being peace with all men. As far as it depends on me, whatever I can do to accomplish it, I'm to be at peace with all men. There may be some people you can't be at peace with. But you have to look at yourself and ask, did I do all that I could? If I have, then that's on them. That if I'm not the source of the problem, then that's on them. But I need to make sure that I'm not the source of the problem, that I've done everything that I can. As I was talking about that Zoom class that I was doing on the subject of being at peace or being a peacemaker, being peaceful with all people is worth every minute of the time that you spend to accomplish it. By doing so, you're going to bring glory and honor to God because He has gone to the nth degree to be at peace with us, hasn't he? I think one of the best things that I get out of the Old Testament, one of the things that stands out in my mind, is how many times over and over, Cheryl and I talked about this a number of times, when we were reading the first part of the Old Testament, the number of times that Moses intervened for the people, to save the people, to keep them from being destroyed. And then you go on and you read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and then into the prophets that had to deal with those individuals from 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And all the while, God is trying to be at peace with his people. God wants to be at peace with us, but we have to do it on his terms. And if I'm going to be at peace with other people, then I've got to do it on God's terms. Is your life right with God tonight? If it's not, we would encourage you to change that now. The opportunity is yours. Our life is short. In fact, somebody said here recently, I think it was Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, he said, you may not get to leave this room tonight. That's a possibility to exist, doesn't it? Who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes? But I want to be at peace. If I don't leave this room standing up, I want to be at peace with God, don't you? If you do, won't you come as we stand and sing?